Om Gyan Tinirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vamsha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much for coming back. We've been discussing transcendental enthusiasm, and I touched upon a point yesterday that I'd like to discuss further today. And that point is that by distributing Krishna consciousness, one's Krishna consciousness increases. The more we distribute the message of Krishna, the more enthusiastic we become to distribute that message and to appreciate that message ourselves. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami writes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva were plundering the storehouse of love for Godhead. It's a revolutionary act. If we hear on the political scene that some insurgents have raided the storehouse of the government's stock of rice or petroleum or whatever it is. We understand it's a revolutionary act that's supposed to be kept in storage, and they're plundering. A plunderer is by nature a person who's rebellious against the authority of the government. So that's all supposed to be kept very carefully in stock. And they're plundering it, and they're giving the rice out, or they're giving the wheat out, or they're giving out whatever it is to the people, and the government is frustrated and trying to stop them. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva were plundering the storehouse of love for Krishna and distributing the contents indiscriminately. That's also revolutionary, that this path of the highest perfection is not reserved for the Brahmins or reserved for some section of people. Everyone. They were giving it out to everyone without discrimination, to the Muslims, to the Hindus, to the Brahmins, to the Shudras. Just distributing hand over fist. And the result was that they themselves became filled with still greater ecstasy. They were laughing, they were dancing, they were Just like sometimes the rebels, you know, when they get into the government storehouse and they break it open and they start giving, they become happy, hey, you know, throw their guns up in the air and they shoot off a few rounds and they yell, yeah. So we can picture the Panchatattva, they're jumping up and down, they're laughing, they're dancing, they're crying, and they're becoming happy because so long the people have been deprived of this essential commodity. And now they're getting it, and they're also laughing and dancing and rolling on the ground and jumping and crying. So the more the Panchatattva is seeing this, the more they're becoming still more ecstatic. This is their revolutionary mood to distribute freely love of Krishna, Krishna prema pradayate. Dayate means giving, pradayate means throwing it out there. Take, 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 take. No, don't even think about it, just take. That's their mood. And that's the mood of Lord Chaitanya's followers. To give Krishna consciousness without reservation. Without reservation, just take. The miserly people, there's Brahmana and Kripana. The Brahmanas are the devotees, or the broad-minded men. And the Kripanas are the misers. So the misers want to keep it to themselves. We were discussing that the other day, how the miserly people, they're afraid. We were discussing that the other morning in regard to envy. If you get it, then I lose my special position. Now that I've got a monopoly, I've cornered the market, my position is great. If you get a share, then my position goes down. So they're eager to keep a tight hold on it. Nobody else should get this. The merchants, highly competitive minded, they want the whole thing. If possible, no one else should be, you know, we should wipe out the rest of the industry. We should monopolize the whole scene. They become happy. Even it's mentioned in Light of the Bhagavad, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when there's a good harvest, then sometimes the capitalists are unhappy because that means the price will go down. The commodity will be more easily available and the price goes down. And then the capitalists are unhappy. They're miserly. They're just thinking about their own gain. And they, as misers, that's all they get is the happiness, whatever that is, of depriving others of whatever the commodity is and trying to enjoy it for themselves, which they can't do. Or in the context of devotees affected by the mode of ignorance, they don't want others to make advancement. Because if someone else makes advancement, he'll go ahead of me. If someone else does this service, maybe he'll do it better than I do. So they're stingy-minded, mean-minded. Because even though they're performing devotional service, they're still affected by this quality. They haven't yet transcended. But the Panchatattva are teaching just the opposite. Give it away. Give it away. The more, the better. If we try to hold on to it, we'll lose it. So it's like money. I was talking to someone about that yesterday or the day before. Oh, someone was asking about an inheritance. If I get an inheritance, should I hold on to it?
This morning.
Right? So the trouble is that holding on to money is very difficult. Money is one of those things that sort of, it's like a radioactive element, you know. It's not stable. we think I'll hold on to the money, then the tax man comes after it, our relatives come after it, someone who's in distress and needs a loan comes after it, thieves come after it, bankers come after it. Somehow or other, money has a way of disappearing. Inflation comes after it. You know, it's like, okay, I hold on to it, it's in the bank, but then 1 year later it's worth half as much. So it disappears that way. Somehow or other, money has a way of disappearing. So knowledge also is like that. If I try to keep knowledge to myself, it disappears. The example given in Srimad Bhagavatam is that it's like water kept in a cracked pot. Water kept in a cracked pot leaks out. You look in the pot, where's my water? When we try to keep knowledge to ourselves, it diminishes. But when we distribute knowledge, it increases. When we distribute Krishna consciousness, therefore it's described, the Panchatattva were plundering the storehouse of love for Krishna and distributing the contents, and the more they distributed, the more there was. It didn't diminish, it increased. That's the nature of Krishna consciousness. The more we describe Krishna, the more we want to describe Krishna. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we want to hear about Krishna. Anandam buddhi vardhana. Ambuddhi means the ocean. And ananda, the ocean of transcendental happiness. And vardhana, increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhana. The Prabhupada said the ordinary ocean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, they don't increase. If they increase, we'd be in trouble. But this ocean, the ocean of love for Krishna, increases. How does it increase? It increases as we distribute it. The more we give it out, without discrimination, not that this is only for the Indian people, or it's only for the American people, or it's only for these people, only for the, it's for everyone. In 26 Second Avenue, in the early days, we were all hippies. And we were thinking that Krishna consciousness should be distributed among the hippies. You know, by their superior qualifications, they would appreciate it. And I was remembering that we used to think like that, that if you saw a so-called straight person, a normal person, you'd think he wasn't a candidate. And Satsuru Maharaj reminded me, it was more than that. It's we thought they shouldn't get it. You know, if they get their hands on it, they'll spoil it. So we should keep it among the hippies, the chosen people, the elite of society. But that's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. His mood is everyone. Everyone should get love for Krishna. Every man, woman, and child should get love for Krishna. So that's the mood of the Sankirtan movement. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. He didn't think that this is just for a certain section of people. He certainly didn't think this is only supposed to stay here in India. I'd better not cross the ocean. If I cross the ocean, I certainly shouldn't bring this with me. It's too valuable to take outside of India. It was his mission. It was the mission of the acharyas. It should be distributed everywhere and to everyone. When Prabhupada came to Africa, it's well known that devotees were mostly preaching to the Indians, and Prabhupada said, "What is this?" Then he organized a program in an African place, or called for a program in an African place, and opened the doors. And the African people were all taking part. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. Not that it remains, like there are certain missions, and you go there, and like one mission, it'll be basically the group of the Bengalis. And then you go to another mission and it'll be all Gujaratis. And that's kind of wherever they go, they'll find another mission, it'll be all the South Indians. So wherever they go, they'll find out the Bengalis, they'll find out the Gujaratis, or they'll find out the South Indians. Then birds of a feather flock together and they'll have a Gujarati expansion of their group, or Bengali, or whatever it is. And they may be big or maybe small according to, but they don't go beyond that ethnic group. Not a few, one or two or three stray people wander in, but that's just by happenstance, not by intention. But the Krishna consciousness movement, intentionally, we want it to be for everyone. It's not, although it's called Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The Vaishnavism of the Gaudiyas, the people in Bengal. But look what kind of Bengalis we have. We have Gujarati Bengalis, we have African Bengalis, American Bengalis. So it's not, the Gaudiyas are not just the Bengalis anymore. It's all the people of the world, all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everyone is meant to take part. Prabhupada wanted to spread it among the Muslims also. He said, those who can preach to the Muslim people, I'll take the dust of their feet on my head. He didn't think, oh, they're Muslims, they can't be. No, Sanatana Dharma means it's not an Indian religion, my religion, your religion. It's not that. Prabhupada's, where there's some sects where they think if you're born into it, then you're a member. If you're not born into it, well, tough luck, you're not one of those people. It's not like that. Prabhupada, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabu, comes in within everyone's heart. Love for Krishna is there. It's Shravanadi Shuddhichitte Karyayagya. Just I have to hear sufficiently and get the opportunity to render service, and their love for Krishna will come out. It's in the heart of every living being. That vision Prabhupada had. And therefore Prabhupada wanted to, was enthusiastic to spread Krishna consciousness to all sections of society. High, low, middle, and all the different parts of the world. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. What is that? Prithiviti yata che nagaradi gram. Sarvatra panchar vayme vorma. In every village and town. Not only the big cities, the small villages also. Everyone. They'll all chant Hare Krishna. They'll all dance in ecstasy. They'll all get the benefit of this message of Bhagavad Dharma. Because Bhagavad Dharma is not Kaitava Dharma. Dharma Prochita Kaitava. Cheating, the world is full of various kinds of cheating religions. Mm-hmm. In which the bodily concept of life is very prominent, in which people think in terms of I'm Bengali, or I'm Gujarati, or I'm South Indian, or I'm American, or I'm Indian, or I'm Russian, or I'm this, I'm that, or I'm whatever. But in Bhagavad Dharma, every living being is a servant of Krishna. Even the animals are also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so empowered, not empowered, so full of power, that he was, when he was in Jharkhand, the animals also joined the Sankirtan movement. They, now Jharkhand is a separate state. People were agitating, we want a separate state. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the time they were in a separate state, a state of ecstasy. Even the animals were chanting and dancing. And the inimical animals were chanting and dancing with, when the tigers were chanting and dancing with the deer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was serving the scene. But by the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their dormant Krishna consciousness was awakened, and they were also chanting Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that we may not be able to accomplish that, get the animals to chant, but at least we can request every human being to chant Hare Krishna and to appreciate the Krishna consciousness movement. And the result will be that Krishna consciousness will spread. There are so many people waiting to become Krishna conscious. They're waiting to be Krishna conscious because of their previous pious activities or previous spiritual advancement. It's just waiting. They're just like waiting, candidates ready. Or they don't have past credit, but you give them credit. By distributing the Sankirtan movement, Prabhupada said, you'll go to a corner, some street corner, you'll chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and someone is there and he's thinking, what this nonsense is doing. And then after some time, you're going every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. After a while, he thinks, this is nice, let me become nonsense like this also. Or even those who have no credit can receive transcendental credit, spiritual credit, by the mercy of the devotees. By the mercy of the devotees. Patita pavana hetu tavavatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give it to those who have the least credit, patita, fallen souls. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur said, Mosamo Patita, I'm fallen soul number one, me first. But so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing. And when we take up the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we become enlivened. If we just sit on it, we won't get the effect. We won't realize who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, what his mission is, what his potency is. We'll get some benefit, no doubt. But to really understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, to taste Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we have to take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of distributing Krishna consciousness. Then, it's like Prabhupada's contemporaries, they chanted Hare Krishna, they followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were doing something. But when Srila Prabhupada made the bold move of coming to America to spread Krishna consciousness, then what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is became something else again. Prabhupada said they were thinking, or even some of his godbrothers said, we were hearing Prativiti Yatache Nagarani Gramam, sort of like one of those puzzling verses. What does this mean? One of those stump the Bhagavatam speaker questions. Does that mean every town and Prativite, or the whole world? How is that? Is that like, what's the word? Hyperbolic, exaggeration? But Prabhupada showed all over the world people will become devotees. Even from the strangest sections of society, they'll become devotees because it's there within everyone's heart. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he said, it's already a done deal. Prithiviti Atache Nagaradigan. That means it's already decided. Nimitta Matra Bhavasadi said, all you have to do is become an instrument. Otherwise, it's like one of those loans, pre-approved loans, you just apply and it's already there. So the distribution of Krishna consciousness is already pre-approved or preordained, and we can take the credit or not. Prabhupada said, if you don't do it, someone else will take the credit. But it's already decided. So this is our movement, Krishna consciousness movement. The question was there, was it this morning? Yeah, this morning, about so many problems and ISKCON this and ISKCON that and all issues. So those issues, temple is struggling because they only have 3 people and they have to hire a pujari from Mayapur and this and that. And sort of how to pay the rent, and the temple president doesn't want to be the temple president anymore, or the pujari wants to go back, and but when there's enthusiastic distribution of Krishna consciousness, that just gets drowned. All of that just gets drowned. Probably those devotees who are book distributors or preachers have the experience that you wake up and you're really feeling not very good, and you're thinking, and maybe you have a disagreement with somebody, or maybe your health is, and you think, well, I don't know if I'll go out today, maybe the weather's bad also. And then you go out and you forget all about it. It just evaporates. You go out and you meet someone and the person says, well, what are these books about? And I was looking for a Bhagavad Gita, really? And they're so responsive, and you become enlivened. And you distribute a book, or you distribute 10 books, whatever it is, or 100 books. And you forget whatever it was. That was a projection of the illusory energy. You don't really want to serve Krishna today. You take a break. And then you go out and it's all forgotten. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoyandakar. Ya Krishna Taha Maya Mayandakar. It just disappears. So that's true individually, that's true on a grand scale. One where Prabhupada said the devotee is always thinking and planning how to spread Krishna consciousness. And everyone can take part. Someone's out on the street distributing books, someone's helping with the logistics, someone's helping with the supply, driving the books out there, someone's cooking lunch for the book distributors, someone's making some other plan, all different parts of the Sankirtan mission. And the goal is how to get the message out there. Just like in the war field, the guys on the front line and everybody's in the back supporting them, getting the ammunition out there, doing the reconnaissance, doing whatever it is that they have to do to make sure that the guys have everything they need to push forward. So our program is like that. How to, Prabhupada liked these military images. The way bombs are falling during wartime. So books should be like falling on people's heads. These are our number one weapons, Prabhupada wrote me personally. These are our best weapons against Maya. These books and magazines, Prabhupada wrote. These are the weapons. Maya is like darkness, then these are like weapons that bring light into the darkness. And when we are focused on distributing this transcendental literature, just distributing the holy name of Krishna, distributing the message of Krishna, then the whole world becomes joyful and we become joyful. That song is there by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Narad Muni is playing on his veena, chanting Radhika Ramana, and starts some kirtan. And then Lord Brahma starts dancing, and Lord Shiva starts dancing, and all the demigods start dancing, and the whole world starts dancing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, may the Sankirtan movement always go on like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Everyone's drowning. Some are drowning in love of God. Some are not yet drowning. They're just floating on the surface and they're probably going to go under. This is the Sankirtan movement. We have our Harinam Sankirtan parties, and the greater Harinam party is the distribution of literature. Prabhupada said your Mridanga party will be heard for some blocks, but this Mridanga will be heard all over the world. And we see it practically, how people are moved, how people are enlivened. They get these books and they've never seen anything like it. Everybody's saying something else. Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, impersonalism, this, that, prosperity gospel. And now they're getting this message of Krishna. And they've become so enlivened. And then they want to become devotees also. And then, so it's like, so then they become devotees and they become the next person to help distribute the message. And then Anandam Buddhipardana, the ocean of bliss that increases. We distribute the message, people get the message, they join the ranks. But if we're just sitting, why don't they? Yeah, then we'll sit there for 1,000 years. But the potency of Krishna consciousness is realized because Krishna becomes personally pleased. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritama. No one is more dear to me than the person who's spreading this message. So we're looking for enthusiasm. This is where enthusiasm comes from. When we see that people are taking to Krishna consciousness, when we make some attempt to spread the message of Krishna, and we get a little reciprocation from Krishna, a little success, a little encouragement, and we become more enlivened, we see how others are becoming enlivened, we become more enlivened. So this is real enthusiasm. This is real enthusiasm. Not just in the mood of let me carry on, but in the mood of and everyone should get this. What is that? Jayadakotayaka Krishna. Everyone that you meet, everyone that you see, somehow or other, give him the chance. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. All Prabhupada said, always to be thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. So many different programs that are going on for distributing books. And it's just because someone was thinking, well, what can we do? What can we do? And they come up with some idea. We could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Going to airports. No one was going to airports. Now everybody in America goes to airports to try to do something. They're selling credit cards there, or they're doing something. Nobody was doing anything in the airports, but devotees were thinking, so many people go through the airports, we could distribute more books. And we distributed hundreds of thousands of books in the airports. Someone was thinking, well, why not the subways? Someone was thinking, why not the buses? Someone was thinking, why not in the motels? Someone else is thinking, why not in the schools and colleges? Or how to do it, how to get it into the schools, how to get it into the corporate offices, how to get it here, how to get it there. So it starts with thinking, how else, what plan? Materialists are always thinking, same thing, what plan, but it's for sense gratification. What can I say to her? What can I give to her? What can I, how can I meet her? How can I, thinking. Where is money? How can I get some money? Always preoccupied. Thinking, where's the money, how to get the money. So the devotee He's always thinking how to give Krishna consciousness, how to distribute books, how to bring people to devotional service. Planning and scheming. And it doesn't require great speculations. The thing is simple. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute this literature, and just always be thinking how to do it, how to do it, how to do it. Don't even think, just do it. That actually is the beginning. Our book distribution began. Prabhupada had published some teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and it was sitting stockpiled in New York at 2nd Avenue. Now the books are printed, now they're sitting. So Prabhupada asked them, please try to distribute these books. So they were trying to distribute these books. The devotees were going to different publishers and asking, you know, trying to find out, how do you distribute them? What do these people know, the Hare Krishna, these devotees, former hippies and all of that? What do they know about distributing books? That's book publishing. There's a whole industry, book publishing industry. So they're trying, going to book publishers and trying to find out, how do you distribute books? And some devotees in California, San Francisco, I think, or Los Angeles, they just somehow went out one day with some books and gave people books and asked them for contributions, and some people took books. 5 books. The news went out. They sold 5 books. They sold 10 books. Then the news went out. They sold 100 books. Someone sold 500 books. Then it's like all the, you know, all bets are off, as they say, or all, you know, all the estimates are canceled. It's just like there's no limit how these books can be distributed. They were going door to door. They would go to the gas station, and to get petrol, they would say, please take a book. And petrol station people would say, all right. Books for petrol. So this way, that way. And then everyone becomes enlivened. The distributor becomes enlivened. The person who gets the book becomes enlivened. Everyone becomes enlivened. Ananda, Bhuti, Vajna. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Maharaj, we know rightly Srila Prabhupada emphasized book distribution, and as you explained so wonderfully. But also we get this tendency of thinking, oh, I'm the only one who's doing this service. The rest who are in the temple are in total maya.
Mm.
You know, because we think we are the ones who are actually doing what Srila Prabhupada said. The rest are just doing nothing or in maya.
Well, we don't have to think, of course. Chances, there is always the possibility that they are in maya.
But you've explained that when a minute...
Or not in maya, a little, you know, sort of in inertia, you know, not really moving. I mean, they're in the temple. And the temple is the place where they always are. And the longer you're there, the longer you'll be there. And it's not... what spreads the Sankirtan movement, sitting in the temple. Prabhupada didn't spread the Sankirtan movement by sitting in one place only. Of course, in preparation he was sitting in one place, but he was always thinking how to distribute. So, just to adopt a hypercritical attitude will not be helpful for us. But we can try to engage them. Just like we're... the people are outside. We're not just thinking, oh, they're in maya. If you do that, you'll sit in the temple. You know, all these people are in maya. Better stay in the temple, because everybody's there, they're all in maya. But if you think all these people are candidates for Krishna consciousness, then it's a whole different story. That you feel that, let me go out there, because they're all candidates, and out of so many candidates, some will respond, so let me go. So you can think that way about the devotees in the temple also. They're all candidates for getting out of the temple. Our Vaisheshika Prabhu in California has organized his whole congregation that way. They're all working people. They have no staff, really. they have a little temple, and it's not like they've got a staff that's sitting there doing everything. It's all congregational people, it's all families and working people. But he's enlivened them so much that they're out there distributing books at every opportunity. They defeat Los Angeles. You know, it's like a non-temple almost, in the sense that it's not, just a little place. But because the devotees are inspired, they distribute books like anything. And you see it. There's like families are going out, the mother's got a kid on her back, and she's going out. And the kids are distributing also. And all right, they don't have every day, all day, but just on the time that's available to them, the weekends and the holidays and the evenings, they go out and distribute books. And they do, you know, big, huge numbers. In part, it's just desiring to do it or thinking that we can do it. Vaisheshika Prabhu went to Laguna Beach, which was a small temple, and said, "What's your goal?" And they said, I forget what it was for the year, you know, they were maybe going to distribute 1,000 books. Vaisheshika laughed at them. You know, gave them a number, I forget what the number was, you know, it should be like 10,000 books or whatever. And they took it seriously. All right, let's see what we can do in a month. And they set some goals that were higher. And they blasted through their goals. They did more. Now that whole temple is totally enlivened. It was a place of devotional service and politics. You know, people are there and they're... And, you know, not just me, but a fair quantity of that. Now they're all totally enlivened. They're on the charts. And high on the charts. Because they started seeing that if we desire to do this, and if we're intelligent, if we make some good, they have some good planners there. And so they make plans how we're going to do it, and they're all, they go. And the results are wonderful. So we don't have to think, well, everybody's in Maya, and I'm the only one. That's also mentioned as devotional service and ignorance. One thinks, I'm the best devotee. Everybody else is in Maya. But if you think, they could also come. This devotee could come, that devotee could come, I could bring this devotee with me. I could, think everybody's a potential book distributor, everyone's a potential participant in the Sankirtan movement, whether by distributing books or by working in the background or in some way contributing to the effort. Everyone's... I was there one day at Vaisheshika Prabhu's temple. The devotees were giving their realizations about book distribution. One man, he was the father of one of the devotees. And he wasn't living there, he'd come from India to visit his son. And he was expressing his realizations, how enlivening the book distribution was. So everybody's a candidate. Everyone's a candidate for taking part. If we see it that way, then it's wonderful.
Maharaj, I was in New York, and in the party for Vaisheshika Prabhu, even the dog, they trained the dogs of these three books. They trained dogs.
Yeah.
I was in New York in
the
week.
Yeah, they had some dog, the dog, you know, sometimes, a big dog, so he has like a little carrier on his back, and in the carrier there's books.
Yeah. It happened this summer in New York, we were there, and then somebody was, they came from there, and they just told the story.
Prabhupada said the chanting is so nice that even a child could take part in it, even a dog could take part in it. Now the dogs could even distribute books.
But it's still a human being.
Maharaj, today I was discussing something with a person, and she was asking this question that I do believe in God, but I don't believe there is physical proof that God exists.
Hmm?
She does.
I don't believe in what?
I do believe in God, but I don't believe in the proof that God exists.
Okay, if you believe in God, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the proof. If, just like there's some formal mathematical proof that 2 plus 2 equals 4, you don't believe in the proof, but you believe in the conclusion. Fine.
But how do you explain further to such a person?
Read our books. Our books are full of evidence. Full of arguments, full of evidence for the existence of God. That people should read them. Someone was asking me the other day, you know, what book should I give someone for, you know, what book should I give someone for giving arguments against Mayavada? Give Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Are you reading it? That's the first thing. If we want to be enlightened about giving these books to people, we should read them. When we read them, then we'll become enlightened. They're so wonderful that you'll think other people should have this. Why should I be the only one who's getting this? You'll want to put it in someone's hands. And you'll find all your arguments are there. What's wrong with Mayavada? What's wrong with atheism? What's wrong with demigod worship? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? It's all there. Books have everything.
It's from Maharaj. I remember when I first read Bhagavad Gita, and I was so thrilled, and then I bought so many, and then I distributed to my friends and said, "You must read this book." So by reading it, I felt really, so wow, everybody should read this book. So I bought so many, and then I gave to my friend. This one's Paris. You know.
That's wonderful.
When you read them, actually, you...
So there's no one, actually.
I want to ask something, but please don't take it as advice. But I have understood of the dilemma, that's why I'm asking you this question, that we talk about the enthusiasm and distribution of the Krishna consciousness as well as the determination for the Krishna consciousness, and simultaneously we are connecting these terminologies with the material world.
Connecting what with the material world?
We are connecting these terminologies with the material world, and the same material world which is led or directed by the Lord Krishna. I believe that each and every movement of the living creatures and non-living stuffs on this earth is just by the Lord Krishna. Then why the immaterial world impedes our speed on our way to Lord Krishna?
Because that's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has different energies.
But I want to know why the Lord Krishna is making such arrangement.
Because you want it.
What?
Because you want it.
Actually, nobody wants.
Everybody wants it. The material world is the world where people come, where the soul comes in search of independent enjoyment. In the spiritual world, everyone's thinking how to please Krishna. And in the material world, everyone is thinking how to please myself. Even if he's thinking about God, he's thinking what God could do for me. So the material world is that place. And of course, that's rubbish to think how I can be happy independently, like a hand thinking, I don't want to serve the body anymore. How can I be independently happy? It won't be independently happy, but he's foolishly thinking, how can I be independently happy? So the material world is that place where we're thinking like that. And because we're insisting, no, let me enjoy, then Krishna has an energy called Maya, by which he places us under illusion. All right, here, you can enjoy this way, you can enjoy that way. Because we want it. But if we change our desire, no, I don't want it, I want to serve Krishna, then we come under Krishna's spiritual energy. Krishna has different kinds of energies. It's all Krishna. They're like the government. The government has money, and it spends it on building colleges and advertises. Come on, apply to college. And you say, no, why should I apply to college to get a career and earn money? I can just go rob the bank and I'll get more money quickly. Then the government spends its money in a different way to build a prison and says, you go there. It's still, you're under the government, But one way is favorable, the other way is unfavorable. So the material world is the world in which we want to be independent and serve Krishna unfavorably by trying to serve our senses. And the spiritual world is where everyone wants to serve Krishna. But the Krishna consciousness movement means transferring our consciousness from the consciousness of the material world to the consciousness of the spiritual. Is that okay?
My question concerns chanting.
Concerns chanting?
Yeah.
Good. I like it already.
So, is there an effective way of chanting? Like, you can chant anywhere, any place, but most of the time I find like when you're chanting, you go around the temple or something, it's much more effective. So.
Yeah, chanting. Quality in chanting means to avoid 10 offenses. 10 offenses means to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, to minimize the importance of Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, to think that the chanting of the glories of Krishna are just imaginary exaggerations, to give some mundane interpretation on chanting the holy name, commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. To think that the demigod names are the same as Krishna's name doesn't make it any difference. This way, there are 10 offenses. By avoiding the inattention, by avoiding these 10 offenses, we make progress. And how will we avoid? In the association of devotees, we get strength. So we're advised to chant with devotees. In kirtan, especially, we'll get great inspiration in chanting. Even for chanting japa, if we chant in the place where there's Krishna consciousness, where the whole atmosphere is, you know, we could chant, say, at the traffic light, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but there would be, it's not arranged to be conducive. But the temple atmosphere, everything is conducive, peaceful atmosphere, everyone else is chanting Hare Krishna, pictures of Krishna are there, everything. So naturally, it becomes easy. It becomes easy. But otherwise, Prabhupada left Vrindavan, which is the best place for chanting, and came to New York City. He was chanting there, and it was wonderful. So we can chant anywhere, but if we stick to the association of devotees, that will help us more. Is that okay?
Yeah. I have now a second question.
That's what happens. What leads to another?
There are two kind of people I'd like you to help me distinguish. The kind of people you tell them, let's do this. Maybe we need to preach or need to distribute books. You tell them, let's do this. And they definitely go to it. There are others who take time to think about it. Now, what is the difference between doers and thinkers? Because I look at the story of Srila Prabhupada. He had the enthusiasm to actually do this book. But us, it's actually a challenge. So my question is, what is the difference between doers and thinkers?
A thinker, doer is a person who's reached the conclusion of thinking. Krishna says, Bhavanam Jananam Ante Gyanavan Mahaprabhadite. When a person reaches the conclusion of searching for knowledge, he surrenders to me. In my bodies and others, they're thinking, what is the truth? What is the truth? I find the truth. And the devotees reach the conclusion, Krishna is the absolute truth, let me serve. Materialists are also busy because they've also reached a conclusion, but it's the wrong conclusion. Well, they're doing foolishly. But a devotee is acting transcendentally. Because he's reached the conclusion of knowledge.
That massive happiness is dying. Well, you must answer.
So I've changed my question now, Maharaj, because of his asking on chanting. The first one was on books, but since he asked on chanting, I'll continue. I've got this dilemma within my mind, Maharaj, that here you're at home, You can switch off a phone at 9 o'clock, you can wake up in time and you can chant your Ram Ri at home. And here you're in the temple when you're 24 hours on call, because any emergencies can happen and you can't switch off your phone. So, and that's why sometimes you're not able to get up or, you know, chant your rounds. So which is a better place that you...
First thing is, you've been living in the temple too long, you've forgotten what it's like at home. Home is all peaceful, you can switch off your phone and take rest at 9 o'clock. You've been away a long time.
You can get back to it also, Maharaj.
Excuse me?
I don't know, but you could try.
You could try. After trying for a while, you might find that all things considered, the temple's not so bad after a while.
Just for your sadhana, Maharaj.
But it's a question of our determination to do it. For the person who's determined, he'll get up early at home, or he'll get up early in the temple. He'll take rest early at home, he'll take rest early in the temple. And the person who's not determined, he'll stay up all hours of the night in the temple or at home. And he'll sleep till all hours in either place. It's not dependent. But the temple, and generally, the temple means, even if they're distractions directly concerning spiritual activities. And at home, there's so many other things. Of those who are staying at home are recommended, come to the temple also. Because there you'll get more spiritual input. And then you take that back home with you. Otherwise, even if at the temple we're overloaded, that's spiritual also. We have no time because we're always something, something, something. And it's all devotional service. So we're bombarded on every side with devotional service. That's also good. Now, we should try to arrange things in such a way that we don't go crazy. But to be always having something, something, something means Maya doesn't have much opportunity because there's too much Krishna stuff coming at me. That's good. You know, there's an emergency, someone has to do the 4 o'clock offering, or someone has to drive to bring more books to the Sankirtan party, or this or this. So all those emergencies, they're all devotional service, so that's also good. But we should also have some regulated life. Not that it's a constant emergency. That's has some excitement to it, but regulation is recommended.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, you rightly state that Krishna consciousness is for everyone, and we should spread it out. But then when we go out, why do we find it so difficult to bring these people into the temple? That's my personal dilemma. When I'm out there distributing books, it's so much easier to distribute books to them, to talk about Krishna, but very hard to bring them in.
Mm. There's a natural reluctance. Therefore, we can think, all right, they're not coming to the temple, so we'll do something out there. We'll have a festival, we'll have a program. Maybe they're not temple goers, or the temple seems like, well, I don't know, it's a Hindu temple and I'm not a Hindu, or whatever it is. So then we may not think how to drag them to the temple, we may think how to drag the program out there. Yeah. How to have a festival, how to have a program in the hall local to them, or in somebody's home, or not that we're only, you know the expression one trick pony? It's an, I think, American expression. A pony, you can train a pony to do tricks. So someone trains a pony, but he trains it to do only one trick. So that's a one trick pony. He only knows how to do one thing. So it's not that we should be one-trick ponies. The only thing we can do is bring people to the temple, and if they don't come to the temple, well, we tried. But we can do so many things. We can have programs in people's homes, we can have programs in halls, we can have programs on the street, we can have programs in their university, we can have programs here, we can have programs there. So that if you don't come, that doesn't matter. Wherever you are, we're out there. That's the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, that it's not dependent on a particular place or a particular religious building, and you have to come to that building, and then you can take part. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going out on the street chanting Hare Krishna. You can't get away from us.
But then there's this devotee who told me that the temple is Vaikuntha, so we should try and bring them in.
Yeah, if you can bring them here to Vaikuntha, that's very good. Otherwise, if they're reluctant to come to Vaikuntha, then you bring Vaikuntha to them.
Yeah, exactly. But if it is Krishna, it's Vaikuntha.
This is the world of conditioned souls. The conditioned souls didn't come here looking for Vaikuntha. So we drag it out to them. And then they decide, oh, it's nice. If you keep it in the temple alone, the temple has walls, and people can't see through the walls. And some people will be inside the walls, some people will be outside the walls. So it's transcendental, but it has its limitations. The temple is not everything. So we could distribute our books in the temple also. You have a table, and however many people come to the temple, you try to distribute some books, and all right, we're spreading Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada was seeing that we can send our parties everywhere. Not that they even said the temple is a place from which we send our book distribution parties.
Kind of a base camp.
It's a base camp, yeah. Not that this is the whole thing. This is just our headquarters, a place where we sit down and make plans, and then that's our supply depot and all of those things. But it's not the whole story. Our business is to be, just like when you're fighting a war, the war is not your camp. That's not the battlefield. The battlefield's out there. So, alright, people aren't coming to the temple. That's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is not the temple Yuga. That was the previous one. So in this Yuga, people don't come to temples. The churches are empty, temples are empty. So the Sankirtan movement is perfect. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute books, go out anywhere and everywhere. It doesn't cost anything, practically, right? Just little, hardly some, the few logistics cost, but just get out there and do it. And the people are already there. They're out there for their own, but they're going to the mall to buy a new iPod, or they're going here, or they're going there, looking for something. And we come up with what they weren't looking for. And that's Krishna's mercy. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to go out. Prabhupada wasn't thinking, yes, I have to spread Krishna consciousness in English. How can we get the Americans to come to India? Prabhupada went out. Then, after going out, then now so many Americans or Russians or Chinese are coming to India also. But if the Prabhupada had sat in Vrindavan thinking, how can I get these people to come to Vrindavan?
It would have never happened.
Never would have happened. So Prabhupada went out because he knew they're not coming. They've got some other program, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his program, and we have to bring it to him. Okay? Yes?
Maharaj, when you're preaching, and sometimes when you see another devotee advancing, that subtle anartha, the envy, little false ego comes about, and then you feel that, why should he advance? Why am I not advancing? So how do we transcend that? How do we overcome that?
Yeah, by chanting Hare Krishna, and then remembering that we're not supposed to be envious. work out it. Instead of thinking, well, I should help this person. I should be, I shouldn't be Kripana, shouldn't be a miser, small-minded. Tendency may be there, we're all conditioned souls. We think, but then we have to, by superior Krishna consciousness, we have to think, that's Maya. Why should I worry that this person's going to make progress? If this person makes progress, it's good, I'll have some association. If I think I'm the best devotee, well, now there'll be two of us. Okay, good. Okay. All right, shall we stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj is giving tomorrow Bhagavatam class, but there will be no evening class.